1017 The Truth, it's your girl Jazz Tyler Milwaukee. Mark your calendars. Join us for Truth Family Fest on Saturday, August 22nd from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Riverside University High School. It's free and fun for the entire family, featuring great music, community resources, family activities, and back-to-school support to help students get ready for a successful school year. Interested in volunteering? Visit the Truth Family Fest website at truthfamilyfest.com to complete the volunteer form, or by emailing Sierra, CIERRA.Brown@MilwaukeeBlackMedia.com. Bring the whole family and experience one of Milwaukee's favorite community celebrations. Truth Family Fest, Saturday, August 22nd from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Special thanks to Educators Credit Union, American Family Insurance, Milwaukee Public School Systems, Artists Working in Education, City of Milwaukee, DCWS, AB CoreCore, and Ascension. And tap in MKE. If you are just now joining us, before we went to break, I was talking about the school-to-prison pipeline. And this is all stemming from the recent civil rights investigation into the Milwaukee public school system, where they have recently discovered that over 100 cases of black youth being expelled and suspended, which differs from their white counterparts. So there's a lot of people who say there's no such thing as school to prison pipeline. A lot of people believe that we are not conditioning or programming our children to become used to being inside of an institute like this, hence the police presence that's inside of the school. Again, this is not taken away from the fact that educators, students, families, staff needs to feel safe in these environments. We know that there are situations. We've seen it many times, especially inside of the Milwaukee public school system, that requires police presence, law enforcement presence, right? But it's not about that. It's about what happens before we get to that point. So for those who, the critics, who like to say it's a conspiracy theory, you can actually go to OJP.gov, the Office of Justice Programs. That's the U.S. Department of Justice. And if you click on their website and you research defining and redirecting a school to prison pipeline, you will see that this has been published since 2003, ladies and gentlemen. That means that everything I have said is not a conspiracy theory. It can't be if the United States, the government, is telling you that is not a conspiracy theory. And the fact that this was published in 2003, that's not saying that it's been happening since 2003. It's saying that not only do we need to pay attention between that timeline, but we also need to look prior to 2003. How long has this been happening? What happened leading up to 2003 that made the U.S. Department of Justice write a 7-page article about how to dismantle and redirect the school to prison pipeline? We have a caller on the line. Brandon, are you there?
Yeah.
Thank you so much for tapping in. How are you?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
I am well. You have a comment about the school to prison pipeline?
I do. I was, I guess, rather unfortunate enough to go to a number of Milwaukee public schools, and most of the ones that were serving majority African Americans also had within them sort of a ad hoc police facility. So things like a typical lunchroom fight would turn into individuals being charged. In almost every instance that I myself have went to jail, it was directly from a Milwaukee public school facility. And for activities that, you know, I would call maybe, you know, typical activities that go on in a high school, like a fight where no one is severely injured. I'd also like to say that they also had policies that seemed to kind of turn you over to the wolves. For instance, when I went to Bradley Tech, if you arrived to that school after about 8:35, you were given a pending suspension and forced to leave the building. And this satisfied MPS's requirement to dock you as having come and then kind of get the money for you arriving.
Yes.
But not actually have to provide education for you. And the only way around that is if your parent was present. So almost every day there was a contingent of usually African-American men that were turned away. And they would then get picked up by a police force, I think at the time was known as TABS.
Yep.
And then I'd also like to add that when I did go to jail, one of the things that really jumped out at me was how similar it was to my Milwaukee public schools. The bells were the same. The lunches were the same. Just so many of the routines felt eerily familiar. So that prison, that school to prison pipeline is not just real. It's an engineered situation.
Absolutely. Brandon, I truly appreciate you for tapping in and sharing that information, because believe it or not, it is extremely difficult to get our people in particular to understand, right, without thinking in a subjective manner, but thinking objectively that this is a real thing and that it has been happening for quite some time. So thank you again for sharing that information with us. And hopefully our people will be able to take that and begin to research it a little bit more.
Absolutely. Take care.
Thank you. So prior to Brandon calling, and again, shout out to Brandon for that testimony. I know that that's not everybody's experience, but what he is saying is true. I've worked in education. I've been a part of the public school system as well as my children. And I can confirm that that most definitely is true. Prior to Brandon's call, we were talking about the fact that there are people who still believe that the school to prison pipeline is a conspiracy theory. And if you go to the U.S. Department of Justice Office of Justice Programs, you will see a 7-page document that was published in 2003 titled New Directions for Youth Development, meaning that this has been going on for quite some time. So according to this document, this public school system in this country is plagued by vast inequalities that are frequently defined along lines of race and class, and recent policy trends appear to be intensifying these inequalities. Students in high poverty, high minority schools are routinely provided fewer resources, qualified teachers, and advanced level courses than their affluent white peers, which can lead to lower rates of high school graduation, lower levels of academic achievement, and higher rates of college attrition. A related trend is also seen in school discipline and the criminal justice system, with minority youth being overly represented and subjected to more severe sanctions. The racial disparities within the two systems are so similar that educators, advocates, and observers have begun describing these dual trends as the prison track or the school-to-prison pipeline. Despite the strong relationship between troubled educational histories and subsequent arrests and incarceration, the specific ways in which schools may either contribute to or prevent the flow of students into the criminal justice system remains largely unexplored. In May of 2003, the Civil Rights Project at Harvard University and the Institute on Race and Justice at Northeastern University sponsored a conference on the concept of the school-to-prison pipeline. The major findings from these studies include the failure to provide appropriate behavioral interventions may be contributing to delinquency among students with disabilities following removal from school. Many students experience enormous difficulty in re-entering school. Ineffective interventions and programs that reduce risk and enhance protective factors for youth at risk for delinquency exit. These students clearly suggest that the school-to-prison pipeline is preventable, but harnessing the political will to do so is difficult. This is coming directly from the U.S. Department of Justice Office of Justice Programs in 2003, 23 years ago. That's how long this article has been out. And again, we're not even talking about prior to 2003, because Something had to happen in order for this article to be written to begin with. So you got a lot of people that like to troll, and they like to say things like, well, what if the students deserve to be suspended and da-da-da-da-da. Obviously, we're not talking about those students. We know that we can't save every child. But at the end of the day, when we are looking at these numbers, we have to pay attention and understand something. I hate to bring politics in this, but everything is political. This conversation has come up multiple times about funding Milwaukee public school systems. Do they need more funding? Yes, but to Brandon's point, in the event they obtain more funding, will they then continue to suspend and expel majority of the black students and get paid for them without having the accountability or responsibility to teach them and make sure that they walk across that stage? That means that they are obtaining funds, regardless if our babies stay in school or not. Once they get the money, it's a wrap. They then don't care, or they decide whether or not it's easier for them to say, hey, you can move on up out of here. These are conversations we have to start having, especially if we're talking about MPS needs more money. They don't need more money to mistreat our babies. That's for damn sure. We got to go to break. We're going to continue this conversation when we come back. It's your girl, Jazz Tyler, 1017 The Truth. What you think? What you feel? 1017 The Truth. It's your girl, Jazz Tyler. You are officially tapped in. If you are just now joining us, we are talking about the school to prison pipeline. Shout out to everybody who is tuning in. Shout out to the chat. Mark Reed says, if we don't have bad behavior from the students, we wouldn't have to worry about prison pipeline kids. Got to understand, we are not like everybody else. Black children, black adult, aim higher standard. And you know what, Mark? I agree. That is the reality. The reality is that if we don't have this behavior, then we won't have to deal with it. However, that's similar to saying if people stop killing, then nobody would die, right? We're in a society where it's the yin and yang, it's balance, right? There's going to be good and bad. We understand that. But to your point, what's most important about what you said, Mark, is that our youth have to understand that we are not like everybody else. Oh my gosh. That's probably the best thing I've heard during this entire show, other than the testimony from Brandon, primarily because the reality is they don't understand. They don't understand that we are not like everybody else. I just had this conversation with my oldest daughter. I helped her move herself into her dorm today. Huge shout out to my daughter, Kennedy. She started college. We moved her into her dorm today. And I was telling her, while you're here, be careful, especially when you're walking around at night. Watch what you say. Watch what you do, right? You walking around like, hey, where my ninja so-and-so at? Hey, you're at an all-white Catholic college, university, I mean. They're not going to treat you the same way. And you're a basketball player. And you're black. The odds are already stacked up against you. Parents, if you don't do anything else, please educate your child enough to where they understand that we as a people are not the same as everybody else. And obviously, this civil rights investigation into the Milwaukee public school system is showing that. The facts and the proof are in the pudding. The document from the U.S. Department of Justice that was published in 2003 states a related trend is also seen in school discipline and the criminal justice system, with minority youth being overly represented and subjected to more severe sanctions. They're telling you, the government is telling you, that we are not the same. So to our youth, that's listening. Shout out to our youth at the Safe Summer site that tapped in earlier from the Boys and Girls Club, Mary Ryan. If you're listening, I want y'all to know first and foremost that you are beautiful. You are beautiful, young, black, brown, young ladies and young men. Your hair is beautiful. Your skin is beautiful. Where you come from is beautiful. Doesn't matter if it's rough. You are a beautiful human being, and you matter. Your safety matters. Your education matters. But baby, you are not the same as everybody else. We are not the same. We are held at a higher standard. We have to work twice as hard in every room we walk in, not just when it comes to the opposite ethnicities, but even our own people. Sometimes our own people is the worst. Shout out to the chat. What's up, Madi? Thank you so much for tapping in. He said, no more Nolan Wells, Miss Jenkins. Raise your kids to be smart, woke, alert. Hello. Black is different in all colors. Exactly. So this document is saying a related trend is also seen in school discipline in the criminal justice system, with minority youth being overly represented and subjected to more severe sanctions. The racial disparities within the two systems are so similar that educators, advocates, and observers have begun describing these dual trends as the prison track or school-to-prison pipeline. Despite the strong relationship between troubled educational histories and subsequent arrest and incarceration, the specific ways in which schools matter either contribute to or prevent the flow of students into the criminal justice system remains largely unexplored. That means that although the government, the people, the civil rights federal investigation has proven that there indeed is a prison track, aka school to prison pipeline, for some reason, they still have not put enough research into this. Why haven't they put enough research into this, Jazz? Yes, I'm talking in third person. Because they make too much money off of us acting a damn fool. It's all fluff. It's smoke and mirrors. They're not going to take us out of poverty and give us what we need and give us adequate food inside of the schools. Because that's another thing. When you go in the school system and you see the food that they serve, it looks like food in jail. And this is the very thing that your child is intaking at school. And you wonder why they don't know A from B. Health is a huge part of this as well. On top of the environment that they're in, especially if there is a heavy presence of police. Why would they help us when they make so much money off of us acting a fool? It's a game. That is the harsh reality. Which brings me to my next point. Again, we are responsible. We can't keep trying to change systems that was never meant to serve us, our people, to begin with. All we can do is prepare. Proper preparation prevents poor performance. The five P's. That's what should be being explained to not only the youth, but the parents. Proper preparation prevents poor performance. And we all fall short. I couldn't have these conversations with my two oldest children until I was older, because I had them at 18 and 19, 19 and 20. I was still growing up. So a lot of this information I wasn't privy to, which means that I got a late start, which means that I have to give myself some grace, and so do you. We only know what we know. But if you are somebody who understands and you still refuse to properly prepare your child, you are the problem as well. Yes, we can hold them accountable. Yes, we should be holding them accountable. Yes, we should be holding people in office accountable. Yes, we should be fighting for this and fighting for that. But if y'all haven't learned one thing by now, people gonna do what they want to do, especially people who control these systems. And MPS continues to fall by wayside. So much to the point that over 100 cases have been investigated because black children have been being mistreated when it comes to being suspended and expelled compared to their white counterparts. And sometimes there's nothing they can do about it. Sometimes it has to happen. Wisconsin, let me tell you something. I had an event and I brought a celebrity here a couple of years ago. And as we was driving in from Chicago Airport, from O'Hare, riding through downtown, the first thing he said was, "What is that?" I said, "That's MSDF. What is MSDF? A 23-hour lockdown, maximum secured prison. What is that over there? The Milwaukee County Jail. Do you understand that as soon as you step foot into the city of Milwaukee and you rock past that bridge, the first thing you see is a 23-hour maximum security prison across the street from the county jail? And then you drive your way on up to Keefe Avenue in Port Washington and you see a women's prison right there? Then you go down Locust Street to Fond du Lac and it's a halfway house right there. Then you go on over to Watertown Plankton Road and it's the juvenile detention facility right there. Not to mention the one that's being built on Calumet Road in District 9. Hello. How many prisons did I just name in the inner city of Milwaukee? Any, mini, mighty, mo, catch a tiger by his toe. If he holler, let him go. Any, mini, mighty, mo. We have basically they're saying y'all can pick one. It's enough for everybody. We got women prison, youth prison, men's prison, adult prison, all in the inner city of Milwaukee. And think about how small this city is. Not to mention the prisons throughout the entire state. I don't know why when I just said prisons like that, it sounded like Trump. Oh, Lord. Not to mention the prisons throughout the entire state of Wisconsin. But seriously, this is the first thing that we see when we enter the city of Milwaukee. And to me, we don't see, again, you have to imagine this. You have to envision this. You are riding past the bridge from the south side, not the Hogan Bridge, but the bridge from the south side going towards Green Bay. And you're riding through downtown, the outskirts, and you see this. This is the first thing that you see. How welcoming is that? If I had never been here and I never lived here and I was just visiting, and I drive in and see that y'all got a 23-hour maximum security prison across the street from the county jail in the downtown. Baby, that's big business. They are telling you that's big business. And guess what? They want to keep those institutions filled because that's how they make money. The more they lock our babies up, that's free labor. That's free labor. So again, if we sit here and think that this is not by design, you are sadly mistaken. You are sadly mistaken. It indeed is by design. How do we know this? The 13th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution officially ended slavery and forced labor across the entire United States, making it illegal to own another person with one specific exception. It allowed forced labor as a legal punishment for a convicted crime. Ding, 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 ding. Slavery still exists, people. Slavery still exists. The prison is slavery. Not to mention the mental slavery. Why do they keep suspending and expelling our babies? Because they are grooming slaves to go to prison and work for them, making 10 cents on a dot. Pay attention. Let's finish this conversation when we come back from break. It's your girl Jazz Tyler, 101.7 The Truth. Go, 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 go. And on the count of three, 101.7 The Truth, it's your girl Jazz Tyler. You are live and direct with me at the award-winning 101.7 The Truth at the beautiful American Family Insurance Studio in the heart of downtown Milwaukee. If you are just now joining us, we are talking about the case the federal civil rights investigation into the Milwaukee public school system surrounding the fact that they have been suspending black kids and expelling them more than white kids or any other race. And before we went to break, we were talking about the fact that no one is going to stop or assist you with your issues when they benefit from it. What do I mean by that? When you pull into the city of Milwaukee, the first thing you see is MSDF in a county jail. When you go on Keefe, you see a women's prison. You go on Fonda, like you see a halfway house. You go on Watertown Plankinton Road, and there's a juvenile detention facility, as well as the one that they're building on Calumet, which means that that's big business and also that they're making money off of it. And we're talking about the school-to-prison pipeline. The fact that they are putting our babies in institutions and environments, preparing them to go to prison. Is this a conspiracy theory? No, because it's on the U.S. Department of Justice website. It was an article published in 2003. And what are they doing? So what are they doing? They are grooming our babies to be slaves. Will slavery end it? No, it didn't. The 13th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution has two main sections. It officially ended slavery and involuntary servitude everywhere in the United States unless used as a punishment for a convicted crime. What does that mean? The loophole. Forced labor is still legal if it is used as a punishment for crime. The condition, a person must first be formally charged, put on trial, and filed guilty by the court of law. Modern impact. This exception allows prisons to legally require inmates to work for little to no pay. Slavery. They are literally grooming our babies to be slaves. And to the brother's point earlier, Mark, if we don't start making our youth understand that we are not like everybody else, and that we have to work twice as hard to make sure that we don't put ourselves in situations that could potentially land us in prison or in a casket, then they're going to continue to groom them to be a slave. This is the harsh reality. Not to mention MPS. MPS, you're asking, you're saying you don't have money. Why will we pay you to mistreat our children? Why are we paying you to mistreat our babies? Brandon earlier called in and said, hey, what they do is get the money for you. And then when you have an issue, they don't try and intervene or provide solutions because they already got paid. They just going to send your black ass on out the door. Got to go. Don't matter. We got paid. Whatever happens, happens. But we got paid. And then turn around. And there was another investigation conducted in 2011 and 12 by the Federal Civil Rights Department on the same issue. So how many times has this happened in the public school system in Milwaukee? And it was not, no one was aware of it. Not to mention, I'll keep reiterating it. I don't believe that it's just 100 cases. I believe that's how many cases was reported. If we have 65,000 youth who are in attendance at the public school system, you can't tell me that only 100 of them have experienced this. Not even just Milwaukee public school system, Greenfield, Brookfield. Come on, let's talk about it. The surrounding areas too. We have to pay attention. We cannot just continue to allow this to fly past us and say, oh, we read it in an article. We're knowledgeable about it. But and then that's it. Just because it may not be happening to your child, just because your child may not be the child who continuously ends up suspended or expelled, doesn't mean that it's not affecting them. Because based on research, it states that even if it's not happened to them, them being in that environment alone is still affecting them. Everybody has to play a part in a role in what's happening with the education system, because the education system, it has now and has been for quite some time, the very thing that is assisting with leading our babies into prison. Does education matter? Absolutely. But what matters most is where you receive it from, how you receive it. What type of institute are you receiving this education from? Who works there? Who runs it? Who's on the board? Going back to the point earlier, adults, staff, we have to do a better job at putting people in position who understand our demographic. Not just white people, because there's some black people out here, too, who don't have a clue about nothing. They're so far removed, it don't make no sense. If you run into a situation with a student of color and you see their record and you know that they have things going on, help them. When the system comes up against them and say, hey, we need to suspend them or expel them, before you allow them to do whatever you do, challenge them. And just to play advocate here, I'm going to be honest. Another reason why a lot of staff don't is because of retaliation. If you don't fall into line, they will fire your black self. I promise you they will. Because it's about the numbers and political agendas and money. These are our children's lives that we're talking about here. We have to do more than just go to parent-teacher conference. We got to do more than showing up to basketball games. When your baby call you and tell you something ain't right with this teacher and they feel targeted, you better listen. I don't care how many times they didn't act a fool before that. They are telling you for a specific reason. I've seen with my own eyes educators treat certain students a certain way. And you would be a fool to believe that adults don't like children. Y'all know the saying when we was growing up, my mama always told me, if they don't like me, they don't like my kids. It's the same thing with some of these adults who are in these positions. So again, if you have not, or if you are interested in learning more and doing more research, all you have to do is go to the U.S. Department of Justice and look up the school to prison pipeline article that was published in 2003. Show this to your child. Show them the 13th Amendment as well, because they don't teach the amendments in school. They don't understand the amendments, the Constitution. Hell, they even stopped teaching cursive. They don't know how to sign their name. Help them understand. I don't want you to be a slave. What are you talking about? Ain't slavery ended. Did it? Go look at the 13th Amendment. Because if you go to jail, you become a slave. I didn't make it up. The Constitution said it. You can be mad at me all you want to, or say, I think I know. I'm telling you facts. The Constitution says, yes, it was abolished. However, if you go to jail, if you go to prison, then you are considered a slave. So why do they keep putting our youth in situations to end up in prison? They know that it's common sense. Any adult knows when you have a child who, you know, gets expelled or suspended, they're going to have a hard time getting into another school. They're going to have a hard time. And 9 times out of 10, some of them just going to be like, F school. I don't even want to do it no more. And they're going to turn to alternative options. And that's how they end up in prison. So if you are an educator, please do me a favor. Work a little harder at making sure we can try to save these babies. And I get it. Not all of them can be saved. Not all of them will listen. But try. Just try. These youth have it so hard in today's society, and we're all to blame. But one thing's for sure, two things for certain. I cannot contribute to any youth becoming a slave under my watch. I can't do it. I won't be a part of it. You have to figure out ways. And if you feel like you're going to be retaliated against for speaking up, then find a loophole. Talk to the parents. Do something. But something has to happen. Maddie said, numbers game. They will fire you for sending kids to the office too many times. My kids' mom made sure my kids know who they are. We all should. We all should. Shout out to my brother, Von Mays. He has the building. He was just given a building, and he obtained a building on MLK, and we're going to be doing some programming out of there. And one of the program, the trades that we'll be doing is civics, where we can teach stuff like this, where we can pass this information along to the youth to help them understand. Not all of them are going to pay attention to it. And we can't just gather the teens. We have to start while they're young and educate them on this. Hey, I know in school they taught you that slavery was over, but when you look at the Constitution, it states otherwise. So when mommy tell you or when daddy tell you to be on your best behavior, it's because I don't want you to end up in prison or dead. But show them facts. You can't just tell them based off your feelings. You have to show them facts so they can know what they're up against. And whether they understand it or not, by the time they become of age to where they can grasp and understand what you're saying, they're going to appreciate it. When I was little, my mama told me about the 13th Amendment. I didn't know what she was talking about, but now I'm in high school. I get it. It matters. Let's finish this conversation when we come back. It's your girl, Jazz Tyler, 1017 The Truth. Yeah. 1017 The Truth, it's your girl Jazz Tyler. We are live and direct at the award winner 1017 The Truth. We have been talking about the lawsuit against MPS when it comes to how they choose to discipline our black babies, as well as the school to prison pipeline. If you are just now joining us, before we went to break, my call to action was to the brother's point in the comment. We have to make sure that, shout out to Mark Red, we have to make sure that we explain and teach our babies that we are not like everybody else. Not just the negative side, but the positive too, right? Why are people afraid of us? Why do people view us in the light that they do? Because there's something about black people in general that no other race on this earth can do or touch or see. We know this. So we're always targeted. But most importantly, we're not only targeted when we are walking down the street. We are targeted when we are at school, at our place of work. And now they've been targeting our babies, but now there's more evidence that's coming out. And we can't just let it fly by. I don't want to hear about no 100 cases out of 65,000 students when we know that there's more, especially when there has been an investigation prior to this in 2011 and 2012 pertaining to the same thing. So MPS, you better believe we're going to get some answers, because we're not, you keep asking for money, but we're not going to pay you to mistreat our babies, period. If you think I came here to play around with you, I did not. I promise you. Because we're not going to allow you to groom our babies to be slaves based off the 13th Amendment of the U.S. Constitution. Nah, we're not doing that. Our babies will not be a part of your agenda to make money off of. Because we all know that they love making money off of us because we act a fool. So let's do something different. Let's show our babies the 13th Amendment. Let's show them the school to prison pipeline document that was published in 2003 on the Department of Justice website. Help them understand what is happening so that they can then begin to make their own conscious decisions. Whether they grasp it and whether they're competent enough in this very moment doesn't matter, because at the end of the day, they still need the information. You are lacking as a parent, as an educator, as an auntie, uncle, grandmother, grandfather by not giving them this information. It is our responsibilities to make sure that they understand. They're not going to tell them because they are the very people that's leading them down this pipeline. No, they're not going to preach to them about slavery no more. No, they're not going to show them the Constitution or the Declaration of Independence. No, they're not going to teach them how to write in cursive because they don't want them to sign their names. Pay attention. They remove these things from school. The DEI, all of this stuff, Black history, they're trying to erase it all. And we just sitting here having conversations about it. But what we gonna do? Y'all know we can't change systems that wasn't put in place to help us to begin with. Start at home. Start at home. Mr. Owen said every school needs a PTA. Absolutely, they do. And I'm so glad you said that. Because it sounds real cute, the PTA, right? But when you really get in it and you understand the politics and the board and the funding, everything becomes a little bit more clear. We do need more parents involved. And whatever, let me make this clear too. You cannot bash parents who don't have the availability to go to the school to check in and do pop-ups because they don't have the flexibility. They have to work. Therefore, if you are a parent who have that flexibility, then you need to, it is your responsibility to go. So you can then go back and report to the other parents about what's going on and y'all figure it out and come up with the game plan. But you have to be involved. Anybody at MAS can tell you that I took a job there when my daughter went there. I was on a parent-teacher ambassador team. I was at every basketball game. I was doing pop-ups. I had personal relationships with the staff just to make sure my daughter had the support system. I'm in your business. Not to go against you, but to assist you so that I can understand and become more aware about how this system works and what exactly it is that we're dealing with, because my daughter has to deal with that too. Whether it impacts her directly or not, her environment does. That is the attitude you have to have when it comes to your child's education. Stop constantly going to MP. We want this. We demand this. Guess what? They're not going to give it to you. They're not going to give it to you. People are going to do what they want to do, especially people in power. All you can continue to do is educate your peoples, your family, your children, your students. So to the educators out there, we know that currently in the school system, they don't teach Black history like that. They don't teach the amendments, any of these things. So when you get a quick second with a Black student, whether it's a young man or a young lady, have these conversations. Hey, come, let me talk to you. I want to put something in your ear right quick. I see you doing a good job. Stay on track. I'm going to send you this so you can understand what's happening, because this is what's going to happen if you don't. That simple. That's it. Drop a gem that will stay with them for the rest of their lives. Mighty says, put the weed down and check on them kids. Stop going out and check on them kids. Half of the parents don't even understand or have, better yet, read the Constitution, let alone know the 13th Amendment, because it sounds boring to them. I don't want to hear that. You're going to want to hear it. So would you rather hear it now, or do you want to be the person who end up in prison and now all of a sudden you reading all these books? Well, you could have just did that before you went in. At the end of the day, the bottom line is MPS is out of order for a multitude of things. A, for continuously seeking funding, knowing damn well that y'all been mistreating Black children for however long. Y'all giving them this horrible food, and then you're making money off of them and then suspending them and expelling them because you got paid. You are hiring staff. Y'all seen that article a couple weeks ago that they went to the Chicago? They went to Chicago to go recruit teachers. Come, Milwaukee, come. Oh my gosh. How do we paint this more clear? They went to Chicago. Everybody know the state that Chicago has been in for quite some time. They know the environment. They know how these children are being raised up. They know what they're involved in, which means that they have to be built a certain way. They teach a certain way. it's a different type of climate. In Chairman Fred Hampton Jr.'s voice, it's a different climate. These are the teachers that they are currently recruiting to bring over to Milwaukee to teach our children. What does that say? They are comparing our babies to the babies in Chicago, A. And B, they still are refusing to hire a demographic that serves our demographic. We got to do better. We have to do better. It's laid out. I laid it out for y'all. That's what I'm here for. I gave y'all facts. I gave y'all my personal opinion. I gave y'all facts based off research. I gave y'all facts based off of the U.S. Department of Justice. I gave y'all facts based off of the 13th Amendment in the Constitution. Everything I have given y'all today has been facts. That's all I can do. It is up to you to take this information, to pass it along to not only your peers, but to the babies, and figure it out. Whatever it looks like in your life, I don't know your schedule, but whatever it looks like in your life, please make it a part of your life and make it a part of your child's life so that they can be aware and begin to have these conversations so that they can understand why you're telling them this to begin with. Thank you so much, Milwaukee, for tapping in. Be sure to pull up tomorrow, Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. to 7 p.m. with your girl, Jazz Tyler. 1017 The Truth. Have a safe evening. Peace.